Amen. Isn't that wonderful? When the gospel resounds as echo from the mountains, that is something special. You saw some footage here. Nigeria is a federal republic of states, and we went there to Ekiti State. And you saw that picture. There was almost an endless pan. And the governor's wife sat next to me on the platform. And I leaned over to her and I said to her, "Madam, what's the population of your state?" She said to me, 2 million. But look, they're all here." I was so happy. I never forgot that. We only counted 700,000. But she will be forgiven because she had never seen such a big crowd. And, you know, it's sometimes quite deceptive. We always go by the density of the crowd because that is the key. Then you get a true figure. But, oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And to him be all the glory. To him be all the glory. I want to say a big thank you to Pastor Mark and Pastor Lynn for the wonderful hospitality they have given to me. It's really like coming home here. And I've come to love them. And my wife Annie sends her greetings. Also, she couldn't come this time, but it's wonderful. You know what the prayer of my heart is here? I've been preaching the ABC of the gospel in every service, which is the evangelistic message. That is the ABC. But the real desire of my heart is, I believe God is going to pick out somebody right here from this church. No, honestly, and that is not, you don't have to pass any exam there. And it's not a matter of getting degrees or that. You know what qualified the greats in the New Testament and Old Testament was faith, trust in God. Trust in God. And when I look back, it was just that I learned it as the Lord led me from face to face. I learned the degrees of faith, how to trust him more and more and more. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. When I was a young man, I was pretty impulsive. If somebody was ugly to me, I like to pay back in kind. And I still remember somebody was ugly to me, and instead of reacting the way I used to do, I went to my wife and I said, "Honey, I didn't slap back." And I learned that, you know, it forms your character. It forms your level of trust in God. And to trust him is the main thing. And if you, I feel in my heart, there's somebody who's going to shake the nations here today. Somebody, male or female, doesn't matter. Even age doesn't matter. My family in Germany were heathens. And what happened? We lived outside, out there in in the eastern part of Germany. That is where I come from originally. I'm now an American. And yes. And my ancestors, they were lost. You can say lost in those deep, deep forests. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know. They knew nothing. Then my grandfather became sick. I told you the story last time, I think. My grandfather became sick. He screamed day and night. He couldn't move, couldn't stand movement. No doctor could diagnose what it even was. And he was screaming week after week, month after month, year after year. The whole village could hear him. And this is what I wanted to point out. Then God did a miracle. An American missionary from the Assemblies of God lost his way in the forest. And stumbled on our village. And as in those days, these early evangelists, when they came to a new place, the first question was, is there anybody sick here? And the people said, yes, you can hear him. He's screaming. That man, his name was Lewis Graff, went like a burning torch into the house of my grandparents. He preached the gospel to them. And then he said, the Lord has sent me to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. He walked to the bed, grabbed him by the hand. That moment, an electric shock from heaven jolted his body. He was totally healed. That American was an old man. He already had gone on pension here in America, but because his origin as a young man, he had immigrated to America. He felt in his heart he had to go back to preach to the German people who were so lost. God sent him to my ancestors. I was born 18 years later, but when Lewis Graff came into our house, the Lord put the thread through my needle, and here I am. Hallelujah. I believe someone is the needle here, and I believe the Holy Spirit is here with the thread, and America will be saved. Africa has given me incurable faith for America. I've seen it happen. If you have had breakfast and somebody wants to talk you out of it, you say, get away, push off. I've had breakfast and I've seen how God can shake all nations. And America is no exception. I've seen it. I'm always glad when people come and visit our African crusades. There was another American brother. When he saw the huge crowd there, he said, I wonder why the people come to listen to Reinhardt. They asked me that. Why do they come to listen to you? I said, when I started, I preached to 5 people, and they didn't want to get saved. And I didn't know why I only had 5 people. Now I have 1 million people. I still don't know. I still don't know. It's not the person. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I tell you what, it takes ferocious faith to trust God. It takes reckless faith. And I know what I say. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to speak along that line here this morning. Is that all right? I want to speak about the fact that the miracle and the miracles are in your hand. They are in your hand. And I believe God is going to thread the needle here. And when that happens, the fruit will show up. And one day, we will say, wow, how could that have happened? But it is God. It is God. Let me talk about, read about John chapter 6. Verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. To me it always sounds like the report of an eyewitness. There was much grass in the place. Even the grass gets a mention. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down, likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Wow. There were, let me just make 1 or 2 or 3 observations before I come to the main thing. It says here there were 5,000 men. But the miracle was much, much bigger because there was a much bigger crowd. Wherever men are, there are women. And wherever women are, there are children. Men, women, children, they all have a stomach. So there were about 20,000 people. That makes it a much bigger miracle, isn't it? And then they were almost fainting. Jesus had compassion. He was very compassionate. And then he turns to Philip and says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip says, are you kidding? We have got 200 denarii in our kitty, the apostolic kitty. This is a huge crowd. But Philip's mistake was he overheard the word we. You see, he didn't say, where will you buy bread? That would have been a hopeless case. Jesus said, where shall we? Every time Jesus is involved, you have the guarantee that the people will eat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So then they found a little boy. So many wonderful messages are being preached on that, who had some lunch packet. I suppose it was a lunch packet. 5 loaves, the Bible says, and 2 fish. They found him, and he was willing to give it to Jesus. I'm sure these were not 2-pound loaves. These must have been bread rolls. Barley, it says, which was the very cheapest form of food. Barley. Okay. I know for sure that these must have been smaller breads, because no mother is so foolish to give 5 2-pound loaves for lunch to her little son. So here the table was spread. 5 loaves were put into the hands of Jesus, and the 2 fish. Now the 2 fish were also not tuna. You know, I'm sure there were maybe sardines, something small. For one boy, a good lunch. But what is that among so many? That was Philip's question. So, now, they organized. I like this because I can see how Jesus was not just a miracle worker, he was also a super organizer. He put the people in groups of 50 and made them to rest on grassy land. Now, he had 5 loaves. He had 12 disciples. So he lined up the disciples. They were here, a whole row of disciples. Jesus then broke the bread into 12 equal parts. 12 equal parts. And then he gave thanks to the Lord. I'm almost there. He gave thanks to the Lord. The people behind, the disciples in front, Jesus sharing the bread out in equal parts among 12 people. Everyone got just less than half a bread roll. And I don't know what is the rest. I think it must have been a fifth of a fish or what. And there they were. And then Jesus, it says here very clearly, gave the bread to the disciples. He didn't give the bread to the people. He gave the bread to the disciples. And then Jesus said to them, go and feed the multitudes. And now, the big, big crisis started. I can see Peter. Peter looking at his crumbs. And looking at the people. And he saw there his group, his first group. The first man in the first row, he looked like an empty fridge. And he looked at the crumbs and looked at Jesus again. Are you kidding, Lord? Jesus smiled. Go. These 10 yards, I believe, are the biggest problem when it comes to ministry. These were crumbs, that is true. But when I look back into my own ministry, I can tell you that I treasured one crumb from Jesus above all the bread of all the bakeries in the world. Because it is the miraculous is inside. And the gospel we preach is the miracle gospel. And to go from the place where Jesus fills your hand, to go to the first row, that is the test of faith. That is the exam we have to pass. And they went step by step, I'm sure, in slow motion towards what they thought was the catastrophe. Step by step, looking at the crumbs, looking at the people, and sometimes they looked back, and Jesus was shining like the sun. America shall be saved. So many people are offended when they look at themselves. They say, I'm not educated, you know. What do you really think? The Lord treasures your degree from Harvard? Jesus didn't call us to start a university. He said, feed my sheep. Spread the word. Freely you have received, freely give. Keep going. Keep going. And then they kept going. And kept going. And kept going. So many dropped their crumbs and died in the desert of doubt. Nothing happened. Nothing. I'm not against education. I hope you don't get that idea. Because it's no advantage to be stupid. Study as much as you can, but don't let the fire of the Holy Spirit be extinguished. Dropping. saying, it wouldn't work. It will not work. It doesn't work. It does work. Watch what happens. Here Peter reaches the first row. There is that empty fridge waiting. Peter bows down. He grabs all he had and shoves it into his mouth. But look at this, what happened now. The miracle did not happen in the hands of Jesus. The miracle happened in the hands of the disciples. Jesus is the center, the source, and the substance of every miracle. But he sends us that we learn to walk by faith and feed the flock. As soon as his hands were empty, they were full again. And this time they were really full. Peter could hardly believe it. He goes to the next. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. All of a sudden he started to jump from person to person. And now again he looked back and Jesus was smiling. This to me is a wonderful, wonderful truth. The truth is that Jesus will never disappoint us. If anyone should be here who feels Jesus has overlooked him or her and has been disappointed in Jesus, I will tell you this thing. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Because Jesus knows more. But if we follow him by faith, he surely fulfills his word. Are you happy? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear. The fear of man is one of the biggest obstacles. One of the biggest obstacles. I want to share with you what happened to me. I was a missionary, first of all, before I came an evangelist in the country of Lesotho in southern Africa, one of the poorest countries in the world. And it was rough and it was tough. But then I heard that just adjacent to Lesotho is South Africa. And I heard that in the newspapers, I read that there was a man who had a ministry of signs and wonders. I was still young. I was about 30. And I thought, I prayed, and the Lord said, go and see him and ask him to come to your, to Lesotho. So I went to Pretoria where he lived. And he received me. I talked with him and asked him to come for one weekend to Maseru. He said, okay, I will come. We fixed the date. Oh, I was so happy. I was so happy. I said, this is the time. The country will be shaken with signs and wonders. The day came. We had advertised, come and see God's power in action. And here was the man. God's anointed. The first meeting started. The venue was packed. Here comes the great man of God. He has the microphone. He starts preaching. He preached about 10, 15 minutes. And he calls me up. He whispers into my ear and he says, "Close the meeting." I said, "I don't close the meeting." He said, "Close the meeting." He was the big man. I was just a missionary. I said to him, "I will close the meeting only if you promise to pray for the sick tomorrow." He said, "Okay." I was still young and foolish enough. I closed the meeting. Oh, what is going on? I didn't know. I had a restless night. The next day, I passed the venue. Oh, there were twice as many people. And I went back to the Holiday Inn, the hotel where he stayed. And there I saw him next to a car. I saw him in a safari suit. If you know what that is. That's a short pants suit. That you wear that in South Africa when you go hunting. I thought, oh, there's something wrong. He's going hunting. He said, "Oh, Brother Bonky, I'm so happy to see you. I want to tell you, I'm going home." I said, "You cannot do that to me. I said, remember you promised yesterday." He said, "I didn't promise, you promised." He said, "The Holy Spirit told me I shall go." I say, "That's nonsense. The Holy Spirit tells no man of God to run away to preach the gospel." He said, "Well, anyway, I'm going." Got into his car. Off he went. It struck me. I got into my car. I sat behind that steering wheel. And that was one of the most defining moments in my whole life. I'm telling you, that were part of the 10 yards I crossed. I cried out to God. I said, "Lord, I'm not a big time evangelist. I'm only a missionary. But I am also your servant." I had holy wrath in my heart. I said, "Now I will go. I will preach the gospel. I will pray for the sick. And you will do the miracles." That was a prayer in those desert, that 10 yards of desert. Peace came to my heart. Real peace. I went back to the venue. My African pastors waited for me. They said, "Where is the big man?" Oh, I said to them, "I've got bad news and I've got good news for you. What do you want to hear first?" They said, "We want to hear the bad news first." I said, "Okay, you get it. The bad news is that the great man of God has left us." Wow! What then is the good news? There's nothing left. I said, the good news is that Jesus stayed. Hallelujah! And I said, now, I will do the preaching. I will do the praying for the sick. And Jesus will do the miracles. They said, okay, while you minister, we'll be in an extra room to pray for you. They were wise men. I said the same to the congregation. They didn't care. I started to preach. And then something happened that changed my life. Honestly, changed my life. There's something for God. And see how God honors your daring by faith. I started to preach 10, 15 minutes. Suddenly my interpreter, he was about this size, collapsed. He fell down and started to cry like a little boy, loud. My interpreter was my interrupter. And while he was crying there, I heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart. And he said to me, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. I never heard that. God's word in my mouth is just as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. I said, thank you, Lord. My interpreter had finished crying. We continued preaching. Suddenly, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit again in my heart. He said to me, pray now for the totally blind people. And I tell you, a boldness hit me like a hurricane. The righteous is as bold as a lion. But the devil whispered into my ear, what if nothing happens? Has he ever said that to you? Then it must be the same devil in Africa as in America. I said, devil, that is not the point. The point is not if something happens or not. The point is, I will obey the Holy Spirit. I stood there and I said, how many totally blind people have we got here? Four. Four. One, two, three, four. And I said, well, in just under a minute, you are going to see me stand here on the platform. And then I shouted, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes open! I hadn't finished crying when they were screaming, I can see! I can see! I can see! Ah! a holy chaos broke out. People weeping, people laughing, people on their benches, people on the floor. I'd never seen something like that ever. It was awesome, 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 awesome. That day I learned how that the Holy Spirit is a healing spirit. When the Holy Spirit falls, any miracle can happen. When the Holy Spirit falls, people don't just speak in new tongues. Any miracle for in your body, in your family, in your business, in your finances will happen. There were 20,000 people waiting for bread. And 20,000 people, that's what the Lord showed me, had a miracle each. That's the day I still wait for. I pray that everybody leaves. When you leave here today, you leave with a miracle. Amen. Amen. That is the boldness of a lion. The Holy Spirit fell. The blind eye saw. Everything, everything. I didn't need to mention anything. All the miracles happened. It was absolutely like crazy. At the back was a lady with her crippled kid. He was born with twisted legs. She couldn't come forward. It was impossible. But the people stood there like that, and so she handed her baby over the heads of the people. And suddenly, it landed in my arms, right here. I looked at him. I looked at the twisted bones. I forgot to pray. I just looked at this little boy. Suddenly, that little body in my arms began to vibrate. More and more and more. And I shouted, "The power of God!" I don't know what happened, but he fell out of my hands. But he landed on his feet. Oh, hallelujah! When the meeting was over, I stood there against the wall at the back, watched the people go out. I was so stirred. I started to pray. I said, "Dear Holy Spirit, I want to ask for forgiveness. I need to apologize because now I believe what my special guest said. You told him to go home. And today, you've launched my ship. And I am still sailing." Amen. Amen. That's all I have to say here this morning. But I want to pray for those who are ready to take the crumbs out of Jesus' hands. You know, The disciples, they looked at Jesus when he gave them the crumbs. And you know why they could make the 10 yards? Because they had looked at Jesus first before they looked at the problem. And when we look at Jesus in the morning, no matter what devil tries to frighten us, doesn't matter. We are more than conquerors.